Welcome to Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the rare disease community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the 2024 World Orphan Drug Congress in Boston, talking with Mary Morlino, Patient Navigator for the Washington, D.C.-based Undiagnosed Diseases Network Foundation, also known as UDNF. Mary has sarcoidosis, but it took her 7 years to learn that. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Well, thank you, Larry, for having me, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you.
What is the Undiagnosed Diseases Network Foundation?
The Undiagnosed Disease Network Foundation, also known as UDNF, is a foundation that was created to support the NIH research study on diagnostics for the undiagnosed community. And the UDN, based out of the NIH, has 15 different locations across the United States. And we are located at a variety of different clinical sites. And these clinical sites work together to help identify diseases for people who have exhausted all other options to find the diagnosis.
So let's hear your story and your own diagnosis.
In 2007, I collapsed unexpectedly at my sister's house and ended up in the hospital. And I spent a week in that hospital, and they told me I had heart failure, which was really surprising because I was always a very healthy and fit person and very athletic and took good care of myself. And I collapsed unexpectedly. They said I had heart failure, which didn't make any sense.
At what age?
At that point, I was 41.
And where was this?
I was visiting my sister in California.
And you just collapsed?
In the evening, I felt sick, and I thought I had food poisoning, and I went to the bathroom, and apparently I collapsed and fell, and the next thing I came to, I see my sister in the doorway with an EMT. She had called 911. Because she didn't know what happened to me. So I was rushed to the emergency room where they did some testing and they couldn't figure anything else out from that. And then I spent a week having all kinds of tests and they couldn't figure it out. They wanted me to get on a treadmill to test my heart function. And I thought, that's a piece of cake. I can run for 45 minutes. Give me the treadmill. Bring it on. And I couldn't do 2 minutes on the treadmill. It was very bizarre. I couldn't understand what was happening with me. So after a week in that hospital, they came up with no answers. And they said, well, you can go home and check with your local doctor. And at that time, I was living in Switzerland. So this was a transatlantic flight that I was taking with my two young children. And I was very concerned. I'm like, wait a second. I don't know what's going on with my heart. I have to travel with two kids. And the doctor said to me, that's okay. We'll give you a prescription for a Valium. So that was the treatment I got at that point. So then I ended up back home in Switzerland. And the next day I had symptoms again. I went to go to work and I was not feeling well and I knew something was not right. So I took my daughter to my friend's house and drove myself to the emergency room.
Where were you working at the time in Switzerland?
I was working for an organization that I had started, a creative drama school. So I dropped my daughter off and I drove myself to the emergency room, ended up in that hospital for a week doing all kinds of testing. They came up with nothing other than saying there's something not right with your heart. I wore a Holter monitor. They said, we'll get back to you. So then I went home. And then the next day, I couldn't get out of bed. Physically, I couldn't move. And so I had to be moved by an office chair to get out of the house because I couldn't even step to take any steps or I was going to pass out. So I went to a different hospital, a bigger hospital. And then when I was in the emergency room, they told me I needed a pacemaker. And the oddly funny part about that is they were speaking to me in French because I was in the French speaking part of Switzerland. And I'm telling them, no, you don't understand, because in English, a pacemaker is for old people. And they're like, no, your heart is failing. So there was a language barrier and also me not really understanding or comprehending what was going on.
You had no idea what was wrong with you?
No. No, and my heart was failing, and they had me hooked up to all kinds of machines. I had nitroglycerin going through, and I was hooked up to everything, and I was under surveillance. If I moved one leg 2 inches, my heart would drop down to below 30 beats per minute. And I slept with this cart next to me with the defibrillator and this big needle that they were ready to pierce through my chest while they were trying to figure out what's wrong with me. Eventually, they just said, well, we don't know, but we're going to give you a pacemaker. So I got a pacemaker and things were okay. Then when I followed up with a cardiologist, I wanted to know what caused this. What happened? And the cardiologist said, we don't know, but you have a pacemaker, so you're fine. And I was not comfortable with that. I was wondering, well, what else could be going wrong in my body? What caused this? Is there something else I should be concerned about? And they were like, no, you have a pacemaker, you're good. But over the years, I started to decline. And then about, I would say, 5 or 6 years into it, I started to have a more rapid decline. And so by this time, I had moved back to the United States. And I had a different cardiologist who was really curious about what had caused what was wrong with me. I wasn't on any medication at that point. So he started the process to have me meet with the doctors within the 4-hour radius of where I was living in New Jersey at the time to get on the heart transplant list. I was wearing an external defibrillator vest 24 hours a day because my heart was in rapid decline. And so that was what I was looking at. I was looking at a heart transplant and it kind of blew my mind. But my doctor said, you know what, let me try one more test. So he suggested we do a lung biopsy. So I'm like, all right, whatever it takes. So I went in for a lung biopsy and they saw a granuloma and they tested the granuloma and they said that I have sarcoidosis. Of course, I was like, sarco what?
And it's nothing to do with your heart.
Well, no, it does actually, because I have cardiac sarcoidosis. Sarcoidosis is a disease, it's an inflammatory disease that can affect any system in your body. The challenge was that the cardiac sarcoidosis is rare within the rare. So only 5% of the people who have sarcoidosis have cardiac sarcoidosis.
So it took you 7 years to get to this diagnosis.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So I'd like to relate it to your organization.
Yeah.
How did it form? How was it established and how did you come to be a part of it?
The organization was formed because the UDN was losing funding.
This is the National Institutes of Health.
Yes. At the NIH, the UDN program was losing funding, and so many patients who were in this program really found it successful and really important. So they were trying to figure out ways to sustain it, to have it continue to be in existence. And so they said, well, why don't we create this foundation to be able to support some of that work and maybe some of that funding we can shift,
yes,
you know, just to keep that system going. So it was established as an official 501c3 on Rare Disease Day, actually, last year, 2023. So we're relatively new. So they established the foundation, and we have been building out the programs we have. And in the program that I work in is the patient navigation program.
So how many patients are involved in your organization now?
Well, in the whole organization, where the patient navigation program kicked off like a month or two ago, and I believe we have 40 patients at this point.
You could even have a relatively common rare disease like spinal muscular atrophy.
Yep.
And not know what it is or myasthenia gravis, because that's frequently misdiagnosed.
Right. And part of the problem was with sarcoidosis is the understanding with many people, many doctors, is that it affects African-American people. And I'm not African-American. So that's why, you know, people weren't looking at that. They said, okay, she's not African-American, and probably thought, I won't even test for sarcoidosis.
What about in Europe, though? I'm surprised.
Yeah, actually, there is a significant population that from Nordic countries who have sarcoidosis. And my background is I am half Swedish. So that explains that. But it's difficult because doctors don't understand what to look for. And sometimes they have preconceived ideas of what is the population for people who have this disease.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
When I think about the work, the reason that I work in this space is because my diagnosis saved my life immediately. And after I got my diagnosis, within 6 days, I qualified for a defibrillator. Because without that diagnosis, I would not have had a defibrillator. And 6 months after I got that defibrillator, I had a cardiac arrest in my kitchen. Had it not been for the diagnosis and the upgrade for the defibrillator, I would have died on my kitchen floor. So the diagnostic odyssey and that whole process really resonated with me. And that's why I wanted to work in this space. Previously, I had worked at the Every Life Foundation. I had worked at Global Genes. But when I heard about the UDNF and the grant they got from CZI, I thought, this is the perfect place for me. This is what I'm passionate about.
From who?
CZI, the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative.
Oh, right.
So when I read about that and they were building a patient navigation program, I was like, that is the perfect fit for me.
And this foundation, the CZI, funds your organization?
They gave us a grant, a significant grant.
How much was it? Oh, I think this is fantastic. Thank you for speaking to us. We're just about out of time. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.